Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We are all capable of believing things which we know to be untrue. George Orwell. Welcome to Grimly.
I did just hit record, so
great timing.
You're welcome. Whatever.
Coleman has not resumed his assumed the position. Come on.
He said pillows in my way.
Hop, just a little.
Oh, just a little bunny hop into position, in between us.
All right, good boy.
You did it. You made it.
All right, good boy.
You made it. No, there's no whining.
The whining is the worst part. It's actually the only thing that is actively annoying about him.
Because I'm like, why? What are you whining for?
He's got a lot of feelings.
He's got a lot of feelings.
It feels, right?
That's the problem with a smart dog.
Yes.
Because there's like, they're anxious.
Yes. Yeah. Anxiety.
Anxiety. Like Dochi. Yeah. He's just Dochi. There we go. Good boy.
Settled. But he is panting.
He's panting because he's nervous.
Yes.
It's sometimes not like a heat thing. It's sometimes it's like straight up anxiousness.
All right, boy, you can chill out.
He can chill.
ICE is going to be our new TSA. Have you seen that? What the fuck is that about?
Instead of just paying TSA agents?
What is that about? Am I hearing it wrong? Am I reading it wrong? Am I misunderstanding?
You're not hearing it wrong. We're off the fucking rails.
TSA is already miserable enough.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. It's everyone's fault.
Yeah.
This is a situation.
Yeah.
I actually had a conversation with somebody last night about how miserable it is to go through TSA.
Mm-hmm.
And they deal with a lot of stupid people all day.
Yep.
But there are a zillion memes. Everyone knows. Going through TSA is stressful for everybody. They're screaming at you. They are mean to you. It's different everywhere you go.
No, they're not fucking around.
And
like
now
every
it's going to be...
ICE?
I have no words.
Dude, you don't watch The Pit, right?
I don't.
Okay. Because so in the most recent episode, they have ICE agents come in and they bring in a detainee.
Okay.
And
a detainee.
A detainee.
Detainee.
Thank you. Jesus.
Did you obviously, you made it French for a second.
I said it and I just kept going.
Normally I just roll with you.
No.
But I was like,
honestly,
detainee.
Please correct me. So please correct me if I'm wrong because I'm a fucking idiot.
Okay, carry on. So but this is a bad situation.
It's a bad situation. And it's probably like a real life situation that happens.
A zillion times, yeah.
Yeah, because they injure somebody while she's running away from them.
Oh.
And they bring her in. And the doctors are like, fuck, what do we do in this situation? Do we just try to get her out of here as quickly as possible? Do we try to get her to a phone so she can call somebody?
Oh, how can we help?
How can we help? Because they're fucking doctors, right? That's like their whole gimmick. It's not a gimmick. It's not a gimmick. Doctors are actually help people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was interesting because the people that they had as, like, the acting on that show was so fucking good because the way that they, like, showed that segment of the episode, it just really felt like the air was sucked out of the room.
Yeah.
Because they were there in a way that, like, I feel like it's probably very real life.
Sure. Yeah.
When, like, you see those people around, you're like, everything stops. You're like, fuck, how do we deal with this?
No one knows what to do.
No one knows what to do. Yeah. It was sad. Like, it just sucks to just watch all of it. And I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah,
I did hear about the episode like in the zeitgeist. So
Oh really? Yeah. And like they definitely there are some people like I'm never watching this again because it got too political.
Okay.
Fuck off. I'm sorry. If you're like four ICE agents, Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean,
realm of fuck you.
Can't imagine how this is going to be cool in any way.
Ever.
It's going to help anything. And it's like a response to the lack of TSA because they're not getting paid. So for whatever reason, is a good reason, they're not going to go to work for not being paid.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to work without,
some of them are, and God bless the ones who are.
Yeah.
And he's all, we'll just send ICE to do what? Like, the lines are really long. I don't know. Are they security?
They're not trained in anything. That's the whole thing.
It makes no fucking sense. I'm really concerned.
We all know I've been concerned. I mean, I've obviously been very vocal about everything. I've been very concerned. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's one weird fucking dumb shit decision after another.
It really is. And we're currently in maybe World War III. I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe. Well, we'll see. I guess what history says about it.
Yeah.
You never know until you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's a conflict right now. It's possible.
The beginning.
It's not good. Sorry.
To the world?
As Americans.
Yes.
We apologize. I don't, like, we didn't vote for this. We have never voted for this.
No.
We continue to speak out against this, and we don't know what else to do, because our system is failing us, and it has been failing us for a very long time.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome to Grimlight.
For episode 100.
I'm sorry. I just felt like the Matthew McConaughey meme of taking a long drag of a cigarette.
Yes, when he's with the hair and
he's like bug-eyed a little bit. You know? That's what I felt like. But yeah, this is 100, baby.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you too.
Little cheers to you.
We have done it. Michael, one. You don't have thumbs to cheers.
It's like, why don't I have a
drink? He also doesn't like liquor. I've tried. Coleman's my dog, not my child, first of all. Sort of a child, quasi-child.
It sounded in the way that you said it that you tried to ply him with liquor, but I believe that's not the case.
I've, like, dipped my finger and been like, you want taste? He's like, ew.
Yeah, because it's gross.
Yeah, here, I'll show you right now.
The way he backed up try to...
Absolutely.
That's pointless, you fucking idiot. Are you drinking that?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. We're fixing our inside boo-boos, Coleman.
Inside boo-boos. I love it.
I don't have a Xanax, mommy. I am your Xanax, mommy. And I had to fix it this way. Okay? And I am Missy.
I'm Meg.
And yeah, this is episode 100.
Yes, welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly. Here we are.
What are we going to talk about today? Like, I'm cutting right to the chase.
No, that's totally fair. What are we talking about today? Let me take a drink of this. The slurp was for a dramatic effect. So we are doing something we have not done since episode 1.
Okay. Is it cold?
Just talking about a cult.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little traumatized by cults now because I didn't really know what I was getting in. Why did I pick up a cult for episode 1?
I don't know, but that was such a, like, unique story.
It was a weird niche cult.
So niche, so random. No one has ever heard that story before.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you landed on it, but I think I know. That's one that I remember.
Yeah, that is oyster stuffing.
Super random.
Originated from episode 1.
The hell was it right before? I don't know why. Because post-Christmas?
It was right after Thanksgiving. And I talked about my mom making oyster stuffing and how much I hate it.
It had to be around Thanksgiving, but I didn't think the episode came out until January.
No, because we recorded like 4 or 5 episodes before we released anything.
Back in when we really had a plan.
We had a jump and then we just never kept up with it. I mean, we're technically 2 weeks ahead.
Wow.
A week and a half?
That's doing pretty good.
I mean, 99's coming out tomorrow.
Okay.
And then
a week later.
The Monday after is 100.
You know, trying to keep, it's a lot of work you do, try to keep up with
life,
all of it. Yeah. And 2 jobs. You're a busy fucking right woman.
Like I said, I'm in my Reba era. I'm a single mom who works 2 jobs. Dude. Except I don't have a child, I just have a dog.
I would like to say he's low maintenance, but I don't think he is.
He's lowish.
You don't have to hear him talk.
No, he doesn't back talk me.
There you go.
Right. He's always,
all the other stuff sounds similar though to raising children. You have to clean up his shit.
No, I don't. He goes aside to poop.
Most of the time. Oh, like at home.
Not most of the time, all the time. He doesn't poop in the house, Meg.
No, I just mean like when you're walking him.
That's true. Yes. Because I'm not a trash person that leaves dog poop on like the side of the road.
That is so uncool.
It's very uncool.
I don't want to get into that.
Anyways. We all work hard. Moral of the story, because we are in late stage capitalism. Are you okay?
Yes.
Is it your allergies?
A little.
My allergies are also killing me.
Oh, it's about to be springtime.
Dude, I've been like weeping. Just randomly.
No.
No. Just like running eyes. And I'll just have a single tear just drop. And I'm like, why am I crying?
That's so dramatic. No, I don't like it.
And like I was like the other day, I was like, why am I just randomly weeping? I'm leaking. I'm weeping. What is happening?
And then we can blame that one on POTUS too somehow.
Yeah, totally. But then I like looked at my car hood yesterday and it was just like the layer of pollen on top of it. I was like,
that's why.
Oh, that's why I'm weeping.
And he's outside. He comes inside.
Yeah.
They bring the pollen in the house and all that.
He being my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't trust a he to not bring pollen inside though.
Yeah.
Ladies, make sure they dust themselves off.
Just take a small vacuum and just vacuum them off.
Yeah. You need actually, matter of fact, you walk in my door, take your clothes off.
For more than one reason.
Stupid. It's the pollen.
It's the pollen, I swear. Thought you're hot, buddy. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, let's dive into number 100.
Okay, a cult. I'm excited. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. In March of 1997, inside a quiet mansion in California, 39 people laid down on individual beds and prepared to die. They weren't running from anything. They didn't even want to end their lives. They believed they were about to leave this world behind and step into something better. The group would become known as Heaven's Gate. And their story is often told as one of brainwashing, control, and blind devotion. But the truth is a little more complicated than that. Because the people who ended up in that house didn't start there. The story begins decades earlier with a choice and a belief that would slowly change everything.
You're diving into the fucking cult.
The cult of cults a little bit.
It is kind of the cult of cults.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally a documentary called Heaven's Gate, The Cult of Cults, which I watched for this.
It's like the tennis shoes, the uniforms, Hail Bob.
Uh-huh.
We got it all. So Applewhite Applewhite, isn't that his name?
That is. Okay. Marshall Applewhite is one of the two. Yes. This was originally going to be a one-parter. This is absolutely a two-parter.
Oh, a cliffhanger for episode 100?
Yes.
Rude.
Sorry.
So fucking rude.
Because I'm like, because we have talked about this, like we've bounced back and forth, like what to do for 100. And we originally had planned like maybe go to that haunted hotel in Washington. I was like, maybe we should do that for Halloween. Because this is really.
Do it anytime. That sounds fun.
I know. It doesn't really make sense to do it for 100 because like it doesn't.
Apply.
Okay, apply.
Sure, whatever.
And I was like, I know we should. But we should do a cult.
A callback.
A callback to episode one. And we haven't done a cult since episode one.
100 episodes.
I know.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
I'm just going to spend the whole episode being like, look at you.
Oh my God. Fangirling over me. At least somebody does. Jesus. All right. So let's get into the leaders of this cult.
Yes. Okay.
And sorry.
It's the single most important person in the cult. Sorry.
Yeah,
The cult revolves around
them.
Them.
And there's going to be a couple moments where it sounds like I'm defending them. Let's be clear.
Okay.
This is a cult. I'm not like trying to convert anybody to this. I'm going to have some opinions that I think most people will also have. I'm just trying to like, you know, be transparent. I'm not in the cult. For lack of a better word.
I think they still have a website. Don't they have the little...
They still have the website.
There is also... Oh, listen, I don't know if this came up in your research, but I'm certain that once upon a time, I don't know if it still exists, there was like a little tile at Pike Place.
Oh, I don't know. I definitely have not...
Purchased by them.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I should look. I'm going to opening day for Mariners next week, but...
Oh my God, it's... Oh. I guess, I don't know. Look at me acting shocked. Shocked. But then I was like, I don't really know what season baseball is, but it
starts in spring. So we are officially in spring.
Oh, great.
Okay. All right. So let's just get into the leaders themselves.
All right. I'm listening. I'm all ears.
So Bonnie Lou Nettles was born in 1927 to a Baptist family. Not much is known about Bonnie's early life, but we do know that she eventually gets married to a Joseph Nettles, and she ends up having four children. And this is a picture of Bonnie.
God, born in the 20s. Mm-hmm. How old was she there?
This is probably in the 60s. So she's probably like in her 40s.
Okay. God, they say millennials look young.
I think we do. We missed the like the vaping, smoking
I guess stuff. So. She looks like she's in her 50s to me.
Maybe.
She could be
she's in her 40s.
She could be a current 61 even.
Current
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's probably all the Botox that we're doing now.
I'm not doing anything yet.
I know, but it's just like thing people that generally people do.
We're keeping up. Yeah, I think we
drink a lot of water.
We drink a lot of water. We were told to not smoke. We were also told to wear sunscreen.
Sunscreen
is a big one. Let's be real.
Okay. Anyway, good for us. We're the most beautiful generation. Don't you forget it,
bitches. So by the time Bonnie meets Marshall, her marriage is failing, and it seems like she was just disenfranchised with her life in general. It seems like Bonnie just wasn't a woman who really wanted to get married and have kids, but that was what you did as a woman in that era.
I mean, yeah. Born in, you said 1927 or 28?
27.
I'm judging her for no things.
No.
We're just like doing our very best.
No. Like, she just kind of was forced into a life that she probably didn't want to lead, is what it sounds like. And she found an outlet in some other shape or form. It's not like...
Healthy?
Not healthy. I'm not trying to defend this woman. Like I said, there's going to be a couple times where like, I sound like...
You get it?
I get it a little bit. Or I'm like a cult leader or like a cult follower of this cult itself, but I am not.
Listen, I'm just going to say it now. You don't need to say that again. It's understood.
Okay.
That is understood.
We shall see.
So, I believe you.
Okay.
I think everyone else believes you. Like we're with you.
Okay, thank you. So Bonnie would eventually become a nurse, but she also had a deep interest in the occult itself.
Oh, what would you bitch.
Right? And was a member of the Houston Theosophical Society, which is part of a new age religious group called Theosophy, which studies science, religion, and the philosophy side as like a synthesis instead of as being opposed to one another. If that makes sense.
I fuck with that a little bit. I like that.
And like, I feel like that's us, right?
I don't mind it. I'm listening.
So Bonnie was also an amateur astrologer and also was interested in the paranormal and UFOs. She would like have like seances at her house with her friends. Like she believed in the occult. She like liked the paranormal. She is us.
Listen, don't take it too far. Okay. She's a little weird.
She's a little weirder than us. She's a little weirder than us. Maybe a little more committed.
Yes.
Yeah. So Bonnie, amateur astrologer, interest in paranormal and UFOs. She is this podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Which all of this does lead to her to meet Marshall Applewhite in a chance meeting that would change both of the trajectories of their lives significantly.
Okay. I actually don't know how they met. I don't recall.
I'll tell you. Okay. Marshall was born into a Presbyterian family in Texas in 1931. And for most of his early life, Marshall was on a set path leading to becoming a Presbyterian minister like his father.
Okay. Yeah, I know, right?
Cue the dog noise.
He's like, Mom, that stresses me out.
Yeah, like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
We don't need lineages of pastors.
We don't. I agree.
Just because your dad was a pastor does not mean you should be a pastor.
No.
I feel like people who work for the Lord should be really drawn, compelled, not like
individually.
Ushered. Yes.
Yeah.
Not ushered into the family business.
I agree. So Marshall was at least bisexual, if not just gay, which suppressing this leads to some major issues and choices that he makes later. And this is a early photo of him.
So cute.
He looks like he should be like a doo-wop.
Yeah, he does.
Type of group.
You know what? The gays would have eaten him up.
I know.
In 2026.
I do believe that both of these people, if they were born later,
wouldn't have.
They would have been an ancient aliens.
Damn.
TV show on the History Channel.
Okay.
So Marshall does get a Bachelor's of Arts in Philosophy from Austin College, and he does get married to a woman named Ann Pierce, and they eventually have two kids together. That's why I'm thinking he like maybe was at least probably bisexual. I don't know. Like,
I have no idea.
His sexuality is up in the air, but I would say.
Can you imagine just, I don't know. I'm not going to dig into it because I can't like completely.
Being born in the deep south and like being
just like feeling this way. Actually being gay and being in a position where you have no choice. Mm-hmm. This could happen for men or women, and certainly has. And like, then you have two children from.
You have to force yourself to be in this lifestyle.
Maybe you do. Maybe. I mean, at a certain point, your body does like what your body does.
Totally.
When it's aroused. But if that's not what you are like drawn to.
Yeah.
That's not like, what it does it for you. That could be really just a bummer.
I know. That's confusing. What I'm like wondering if he is probably like bisexual.
Hopefully.
So Marshall does start divinity school after his bachelor's, and but drops out quickly, realizing that the church was not his calling. Like you said, it shouldn't be a family business. It should be like an individual calling to do that.
Completely. Right?
So then Marshall begins teaching music at a nearby college before getting drafted in 1954 into the army, and serves for a few years and gets honorably discharged. And he returns to Texas to get a master's in musical theater.
Okay.
Which is giving.
It's giving.
Sorry.
It is. I was like, yep, checks the box for me. Cool as shit.
Yeah. So after his master's, Marshall moves to New York and tries to pursue a career in theater itself.
Okay.
And while he does get work, he never really gets his quote-unquote big break. Mm. And so that doesn't pan out as he had hoped, and begins teaching at the University of Alabama. He begins teaching music in the choir.
This is back in the day we can just like roam around, do anything.
Bebop around. If you were like, a straight white man, you could.
Yeah, mate, probably. You're right. Just people like roaming around getting jobs. It's a lawyer this day. You're a doctor next week. Now you're in theater.
Just calling yourself a doctor.
You just show up and you're like, yeah, okay, you were here.
Yeah. I mean, like, so it sounds like Marshall was actually a very good singer. He was a very good baritone.
What's a baritone?
Like the deeper.
The deeper. Okay.
Yeah, the deeper.
What's the other one?
I don't know. Soprano?
Girl, I don't know.
I think soprano's correct. But I am often...
I believe you.
I'm just sold. Throwing words out there.
Sold. You're like, chorus words?
I'm either great at trivia or terrible at trivia because I'm confidently incorrect. I'm pretty sure he was a baritone. I'm pretty sure soprano.
Alto.
Alto is the other one. I was about to say. Which I think alto is like the super high.
Oh, I have no idea. Listen, I wish I could sing.
I wish I could sing too. You know, if we could sing, we would know this, but we can't.
I know. But you know what? Sometimes I do think as an adult, like, what if I just took some singing lessons?
I've thought about that too. Or some sort of music lessons in general. Also, would love to learn how to play the fiddle / violin.
My God.
That could be fun.
Commitment.
That is a commitment.
Okay.
But
you don't have time for that, but you could.
I could do that.
Learn how to play the fiddle.
Maybe someday I will learn how to play the fiddle.
I'm waiting.
Okay. Then I'll start my own little, like, fiddle cult.
Sure.
Yeah. Totally. Anyways, okay. So.
Like, fiddle cult? Yeah. That, I mean, that sounds harmless. As, like, it just sounds harmless.
It sounds harmless.
What's wrong with it?
We can make something wrong with it. Anyways. So, at the University of Alabama, where Marshall is teaching, he's teaching music and choir, right? He's very involved in the Presbyterian church. He like goes to church. He is working with his wife. Not working with his wife. He's like with his wife. They're going to church. He's also teaching music at the University of Alabama. He is caught having an affair with a male student.
Oh, no.
Yes. And it doesn't sound like this student was underage.
Okay.
Because it's University of Alabama. He's a college student. But he is caught and he is fired because of it in 1968.
I'm just like wondering how many people that it happened with before, whatever.
Yeah.
Being caught, you know?
Right, totally. I agree. Mm. And he also gets divorced from Anne because of this.
Yeah, Anne was, okay, this is the actual worst thing that could even happen.
I am out of here.
Whatever year, what year was this?
This is 1968.
Worst thing that could happen in 1968 to Anne.
In the South, in Alabama, this is not good, right? And like, I feel for people during this era who were a different sexual orientation other than heterosexual, because they had the worst hill to climb.
Yeah, but the power imbalance here is the problem, right?
The power imbalance is a bit problematic. Like I said, it's not someone underage.
Yeah, but
I'm grasping.
It's bad.
Straws.
It's,
yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. So, however, Marshall's able to find another teaching gig in Texas at the University of St. Thomas, where he is very well liked and popular because he's a great music teacher and he's charismatic. And so he's really well liked by students and staff. But Marshall's once again found to be having an affair with a male student and more or less is forced to resign in 1970.
Yeah, keep him away from the young male students.
Like, he just, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it just sounds like that was his lifestyle.
Yeah, he was married and this was the way to meet the people he was attracted to.
Yeah. And like, he was born in 1931. This is 1970. So he was
in his 40s.
Almost in his 40s at this point. And I mean, the age gap, it's unfortunately about the power aspect. Yeah, exactly. Of it, right?
It's a problem.
It's not about the age gap. It's about the power.
Yeah.
So he's,
like, if you're just like, you know, cruising, finding these men, that's a different story. Or like, you're like at bars or clubs.
Yeah, totally.
You can't fuck your students.
No, you should definitely not be fucking your students.
No.
No matter how old they are. So it's also during this time. So he's fired from there in 1970. It's also during this time that Marshall talks about his dissatisfaction of being in a relationship and sex itself with former partners. So we have former partners that come out and say that, like, he was just, like, not really into having relationships at this time. He almost sounds like he could have been, like, asexual.
Okay, so he was, like, it didn't
work with the woman. In, like, a more modern lens.
It doesn't work with the men, necessarily.
Yeah, he's just, I don't really, like, I think maybe, I think there's something deeply seated there, though, because of the era he was in, the homophobia, yeah. And he was probably like, because he also had like relationships with women during this era after he being fired.
And he
just like kind of talked about it. I don't like any to do any of this, but like I feel like I should. And so I'm wondering if there was like some like weird deep-seated stuff that made him feel this way, and not necessarily like he was quote-unquote asexual, because asexuality is like another
I wouldn't say it's the same. You're telling me,
but there are a lot of sources that like kind of speculate that maybe he was asexual because of this,
because of the trauma and the
I think it's because of the trauma,
yeah,
is my point.
Interesting. I hear you.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. Okay, what do I know? I've actually never had a conversation with an asexual person.
I haven't either. I don't know anybody I who's like asexual.
Don't really identify that way.
I think they do. I just don't think they talk about it as much as we expect them to.
Sure.
Because I think for asexuality, it's more like, it's less about the physical. It's more about like the emotional connection, and they don't really care about the physical stuff.
Yeah, they're not just not that interested.
Yeah, they're not really interested in it. Mm-hmm. And I do think Marshall could have maybe gone that avenue later in life, but
because he was stifled in like what he was actually attracted to.
But like, I do think the scope and the era he was born in didn't really help him.
Yeah.
More or less.
Okay.
Cause he really didn't like the physicality involved.
Oh.
With being in a romantic.
Was it men and women that both
It was said? Men and women.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he just wanted to be like close to someone.
He's wanting like a connection with someone. Yeah. I do think, and this really breeds into the relationship he grows with Bonnie.
Okay.
So Marshall's a little listless and lost after he like quits his job at the Texas or St. Thomas University, or resigns, or forced to resign, right? He ends up in the hospital. And a lot of accounts say that he ends up in the hospital because of a nervous breakdown.
Okay.
But that is later to be proven to be untrue.
Because?
I think because people want to mark him as just being crazy.
What was he in the hospital for?
We don't really know. The exact reason is unknown. It's never disclosed. His sister does say that later he had some sort of blockage in an artery in his heart.
Oh.
And he was lucky to be alive from this blockage. But either way, this is where he meets Bonnie Nettles.
At the hospital?
At the hospital, because she's a nurse.
Okay. I forgot about Bonnie. I'm like,
I wish I could go more into Bonnie. We don't have a lot in Bonnie, unfortunately.
Okay.
So Bonnie and Marshall met at a crossroads in both of their lives at the hospital.
Wow.
So Marshall, having given up his music career and becoming a divorcee. and Bonnie, who was now separated and in the process of getting divorced, who was also seems to have a similar feelings about sex and physical aspects of relationships. Mm-hmm. And I wish I knew more why Bonnie felt this way.
What's her story?
But it's kind of unknown, the reason behind that. Shit. I know, it really sucks. I'm wondering if there's some sort of trauma.
I would almost, I mean, listen.
It's where I went, and it's probably where you would go.
Yes.
As a woman in this era, right? There may be some trauma that happened.
Why is she find it appealing to be in a relationship
in general
with a man who is not interested in touching her? Mm. There could be a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But trauma is, it would be my first guess.
Yeah. But this deep rejection of sexual nature from both these people does have significant and important aspects later in the founding of the religious movement mm-hmm. and eventual cult following.
I find it so interesting is that he must have been already, he's in the hospital and she was like, I'm taken by him and his,
I will get more into that.
Okay.
So Marshall does start adopting more of Bonnie's spiritual beliefs because while growing up in the religious household, his original plans of becoming a preacher himself and his involvement with multiple religions and choirs and schools, Marshall had become disenfranchised with mainstream organized religion itself.
Amen.
Yeah, right. So he was kind of ripe for the picking.
She picked him up.
For something new to follow, right? And I would argue that Marshall is the first one to join the cult with Bonnie being the leader.
Bonnie's the leader.
I would think so. And I'm not saying like it's her fault because I do think the way that this place, the way that this cult goes is not.
I know he gets the credit.
Yeah. Because eventually Bonnie passes away. Mm. A little bit of a spoiler if you haven't heard the story, but like,
I don't recall this part of the story.
And so like the weird turn this cult takes is Marshall.
Okay.
But Bonnie, I do think, is the person who started this.
Oh, damn.
And I think if Bonnie had stayed alive, this would have been like a very different story.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately.
Oh, no.
But I do think Bonnie being a very spiritual person herself, like I said earlier, yes. Like she likes
her interests.
Her interests, these societies she was a part of. Mm-hmm. She is like a deeply spiritual person.
Yeah.
And she kind of talked to Marshall in a way that like really resonated with him. And it just, they resonate with each other.
Yeah. So he took those pieces that were familiar and was like.
Yeah. And it sounds like maybe they had known each other before this like initial, this deep spiritual meaning that they have, because Marshall had brought in a student that had broken his arm and Bonnie was the nurse. This is according to Bonnie's daughter, Terry. And they like had some sort of conversations before Marshall being in the hospital. And then once he's in the hospital for a long term stay, more or less, that's when him and Bonnie really connect on a spiritual level, quote unquote.
For an unknown illness? Maybe mental breakdown?
I don't think it's a mental breakdown. I think it's maybe something to do with his heart.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you say the herb?
Yeah.
Oh. Funny enough, his middle name is Herf.
Herf.
Yeah. Did I not say that at the beginning?
You did not.
Herf. Oh, his middle name is fucking Herf.
How's it spelled?
H-E-R-F.
Herf. Listen, I want to name a cat that now.
Herf?
Herf. Listen, I actually think it's kind of a cool name. I like it. It's not Herp.
Are you saying that to annoy me?
No. No. Sorry. No, I like it. Herf.
Anyways, moving on.
It's retro. I'm sorry.
They meet. They have this sort of like cosmic meeting. And Bonnie gives Marshall a star chart reading.
Oh, because she's an astrology girly. Because
she's an amateur astrologer.
Okay.
And she basically tells him that he's destined for great things.
That's so sweet.
It's very sweet. Which maybe
we know when he was born again?
1931.
What day?
Are you going to be the amateur astrologer?
I just want to know his general astrology. I just want to know his star sign. I'm sorry.
You know, I didn't put down his actual birthday. I know I probably have it somewhere. You want to look it up?
I'm going to fucking look it up.
Okay.
You can keep going.
No. I'm going to pause for you. Actually, look them both up. Look up Bonnie Nails and Marshall.
Marshall Applewhite.
DOB.
Astrology. Because if you tell me what... If you tell me his date of birth, I won't immediately know.
No, yeah. I mean, if you tell me the date of birth, I can give you a guess.
I could guess.
Yeah.
Okay, it says May 17th. So is it Taurus, probably? My sister's a May 13th.
I think that's a Taurus, yes.
Interesting. Okay, there. What's her last name?
Bonnie Nettles. Nettles.
I'm in Reddit now. We can trust them. Someone hasn't said what her fucking birthday is. God damn it.
I don't know why I didn't look it up initially.
Aquarius.
Oh, I knew shit. It.
Listen, I almost guessed it. I was like, if she's one of those.
You were also an Aquarius.
I know. So I was like, she seems like she could be, but I didn't want to claim it. Oh, no.
Dude, let me tell you. There are so many serial killers that are Virgos. It's alarming. Okay? So
you guys are really fucking intense. I'm sorry.
And that's fine. I guess. I don't know. Anyways.
It's so, like a little black and white. And I think to be a serial killer, you do need to be kind of black and white.
I mean, you probably also can speak to this. I am a very black and white person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stubborn as I come. Anyways.
Taurus is interesting, though. Okay, we're going to learn a little more about Marshall.
Yeah. So basically, they join forces. They just have very deep, intense conversations while he's at the hospital.
Okay.
This is their initial we are together meeting, right? So Bonnie and Marshall decide to take their spiritual self-discovery journey deeper, where they have a sort of pilgrimage off and on throughout the Western U.S., and in the wilderness itself between 1972 and 1975.
Okay.
Where both of them basically abandoned their families and cut off ties from everyone they knew.
You don't need to do all that.
They do, though.
But it was the 70s. If you're gone...
New age is a thing, right?
Well, you're also gone, so it's not like you have a cell phone, you know? If you're not calling them on a payphone or a hotel phone or whatever, then you're not talking to them.
Totally, yeah. When you were out, you were out.
Okay.
Okay.
It might have been just the nature of things.
Yeah. So basically they have these really deep, intense talks while Marshall's in the hospital and they're like, let's go explore this further.
Together. Yeah, they clicked.
They clicked in a way that I think a lot of people would like to click with a person. And
I know, but she's got four kids. So what is she?
He has two.
On the road.
He has two kids. She has four.
I guess we would call those bohemian people at the time. Yes,
totally.
It's not good.
Yeah. So in 1973, Bonnie and Marshall also try to open a religious bookstore called the No Place, K-N-O-W, as a knowledge place.
A pun.
And they also try to open a new age spiritual center in Houston, but neither really work out. And that's when they really hit.
Because they're in Houston.
I know. They're in the wrong
California.
Uh-huh. Then you go to San Francisco.
My God.
So that's when these don't work out, they really hit the road going north towards California and the Oregon coast.
Okay. Yeah, I would say Portland is another for this at the time.
So Marshall also during this time spent 6 months in jail.
For
stealing a rental car.
Oh.
Or not return. It's stealing as the charge, but he didn't return it.
Oh, so he just dropped it somewhere?
Yes.
I've almost been guilty of that. Actually, my battery died somewhere and I was like, you guys can come pick it up. I'm leaving.
That's good for you. You fucked up.
It was probably my fault the battery died.
Oh, you the electric car?
I don't really do the push to start very well. I have a 2012, so it cranks.
Yeah.
And I was driving it and maybe I didn't turn it off all the way. Maybe I turned it back on. I don't know. And then I tried to get in it the next day and the battery didn't work. And I was like, hey, I'm leaving. And they're like, do you want us to give you another one? I said, no, I'm leaving. You can just come and get it when you find it. Here's where it is.
So it was a push start car?
Yes.
And it didn't start?
No, but it is possible that I didn't turn it all the way off when I left it.
I feel like they turn off themselves. I have a push start car now.
If you fuck it, if you mess it up, it just turns itself off?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay, well, not my fault.
I've never fucked that up though, so I don't know. Because I am a little over analytical. And a little oh shit, did I turn it off? Because I don't want my battery to die.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between having a rental, because you're like, oh, your problem.
Right.
If you don't turn your car off,
you're then
I'm
you screwed.
Gotta fix
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true. So he spent 6 months in jail because of this. And there's a
6 months?
Uh-huh.
Are you kidding me?
There's also maybe like people talk about say that like he also stole a credit card.
Yeah, but the credit card definitely doing more than just.
But the credit card thing is a little bit weird because evidently their first convert to the cult, her name was Sherry. She went with them for 6 months. She used her gas card to fund the credit card. And also maybe Marshall had used like her credit card as well to fund the rental car. But then she eventually goes back to her family.
And then the family is
like, and the husband's like, I'm gonna fucking see you guys because you
yeah
use my card.
Okay.
But there's like some charges were dropped because the convert who came back, she's like, well, that was technically my card too.
Ugh, like it was Jesus. A, yeah. Here we go. And this is the problem with cults. Because guess who probably wasn't working for any of this? Marshall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you mean, totally.
But they're like, grifters.
No matter what, he spent 6 months in jail. And it sounds like Bonnie hangs out in Houston and just waits for him to leave. Not with her family, though. Like she hangs out in Texas, waits for him to get out.
Is her family from Texas?
They all live in Texas at this point.
All my exes
live in Texas. Yeah, they don't. Okay, so the duo basically had no money. So Bonnie and Marshall had no money and would often stay at different campgrounds or cheap motels during this like kind of initial pilgrimage they're taking by themselves, like before and prior to the 6 month jail sentence. And during this time, they would have deep, hours-long conversations about different religious philosophies and principles. Mm. And we're trying to figure out what it all meant. Which,
I like it.
Respect, I guess. Interested. Yeah. But that is when they emerge from this pilgrimage as coming back as, quote, the two.
Are we missing the drugs that they did also?
The drugs are never listed.
There must be drugs.
There has to be, right?
Yes.
Probably. But they're never...
How else are you just like emerging from these conversations? Because like, I feel like I have these conversations with friends and I'm just like, I guess it's all fucking for nothing and it's bullshit and we'll just have to do our best and be that, kind to each other. And these two just, are like, we're the ones. We are the ones.
Is that just like a 2026 lens though? As opposed to 1976?
I bet it would have been similar 50 years if you later? Were kind of like on the fringe in the 70s.
I don't know. Maybe we're not narcissists?
I don't know. Okay, I'm listening. Okay. But I bet they did shrooms at minimum.
Acid, shrooms, some LCD. Not LCD.
That's the same.
That's a goddamn TV. LSD.
No, but acid and LSD are the same.
Are they? Oh. Learn something new every day. Okay.
Oh, Coleman.
I'm so sorry.
You touched him.
He's so annoyed by both of us.
He's just like,
just the hardest sigh.
He's like, I need to take a big breath.
Yeah, you can't see my dog reacting to our fucking absurdities, but he is. He's just, you guys are fucking stupid.
Okay,
you are not the two.
Sit, bro. We are not.
No. Mm-mm. Okay. So this is when they often go by various names.
Oh.
Marshall okay. and Bonnie. So okay. they go by Gideon Pig.
Oh. That is sinister.
I think Bonnie was Pig, which is really fucking rude.
Yeah. To call each other Gideon Pig feels like it's like we're mocking
yeah.
it a little bit.
Yeah. They also go by Bo and Peep.
Yeah. Bo and Peep are the ones that I know. Those are the most famous ones, right?
No. So then no? Bonnie and Marshall would go most famously known as T, which oh. is Bonnie, and Doe, which is Marshall.
Oh, T. Okay.
After Bonnie's favorite movie, The Sound of Music.
Sure. Why not? Okay.
Like the Doe, Re, Mi.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do.
Yeah. Neither of us are singers, obviously. We are tried. But the two... which is now Bonnie and Marshall, they emerge with a new religious soteriology, which is a doctrine of salvation.
Okay. What did you call it?
S-O-T.
I've never heard that word in my life.
E-R-I-O-L-O-G-Y. Soteriology.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means a doctrine of salvation.
Ooh, okay.
Specifically, it's like the world's ending. We are your saviors.
Uh-uh.
Which involves aliens.
Okay. If there was any like alien contact, I would be like, cool. Tell me more. But they don't have any of that, right?
They never talked about that. No.
They don't have that.
No, they don't have that.
Posers.
Honestly, if this was a cult that one of us would follow, be you, I would say. Because it involves aliens.
Okay, but I'm seeing right through it immediately. You've never even talked to them? Go fuck yourself.
I love it. You go to a meeting. You go to a meeting because you're interested.
I'd be like, tell me more.
Yeah, right. So we will continue this episode after a break. Break.
Are you fascinated by the strange and mysterious in our world? Do you find yourself drawn to odd and unusual events or peculiar historical moments that aren't talked about in the history books?
Do you feel as though you have a connection to forces or specters unseen, or that you're not entirely alone in the woods when you go for a hike? Do you think there could be something more out there?
Well, strangers, do we have a podcast for you? I'm Christiana.
And I'm Bree.
Welcome to Something Strange, a podcast covering strange stories ranging from the supernatural, the paranormal, weird history, folklore, and more.
From cryptids to real-life historical figures, from hauntings to peculiar happenings, there's a story here for you. Tune on in the first and third Fridays of each month for our main episodes. But if you can't get enough, check out our mini episodes on the fourth Fridays of each month.
We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and YouTube. And for even more strange content, check us out on our socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
For now, strangers, it's time for us to part ways.
Remember to tune on in.
We'll be right here with
Something Strange.
So I'm going to now refer to them as T and O.
T and Doe. And which one's
T? T is Bonnie. Doe is Marshall.
Okay. Because it's tripping me out. Because I'm over here thinking about gender norms. And Doe is the lady.
He wanted to be a little girl so bad. A female
yes.
deer.
Yes. She's T.
She's T.
And he's Doe.
Mm-hmm.
He was her little princess.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Well, I'm trying to get it straight.
No, it's fine.
She's T.
Yes.
Mr. T.
And he's a sweet little doe.
Okay. Got it.
This is a picture of them from this era.
Oh my God. You know what? When you show me that photo that I've never seen before, it makes sense. I see it now.
He is her little bitch.
He's so cute. He's adorable. He's really good looking.
He's got like really intense piercing blue eyes.
Very, yes. The face is structured. Mm-hmm. Eyes are blue. It looks like he might be blonde. I can't tell.
Yes, he's blonde.
He's a conventionally attractive man.
Yeah, totally. So T and Doe's soteriology was rooted in the belief that human beings can evolve into immortal extraterrestrials. I'm going to give you what they actually believed.
Okay.
This is, I don't want to say crazy because I think all religion is kind of crazy.
Okay. We will preface with.
Yeah, but I'm.
Why is it crazier than anything else?
Exactly. Okay. But like, I had to do a really intense, deep dive to figure out what the fuck these two actually believed initially.
Yeah. Imagine it was a bit of chaos. So it would be hard to pin down.
Yeah. So their salvation doctrine was that they believed that human beings can evolve into immortal extraterrestrials.
Not with our body.
Oh, that's...
Oh, no.
Yay! There you go, girl. There you go.
Oh, no. I'm recruited.
There you are. You are your recruit.
Shit.
Okay. So, the two, which is what they call themselves, right? explained that those who followed their teachings could physically transform into extraterrestrials and journey to the next level of evolution, aka Father's Kingdom, in space.
Okay.
In a 1975 written statement by the two, they stated that, quote, when the metamorphosis is complete, their body has to overcome decay, disease, and death, and it is converted over chemically, biologically, and in vibration to the new creature.
Okay.
So basically, it's kind of like reincarnation meets Christianity.
I'm not hearing a lot of Christianity in it.
Well, eventually. It's,
okay. I was like, it feels like you're just trying to force a chemical reincarnation.
They're basically saying, if you follow us, you're going to die physically.
And you're going to be reborn into another physical being. And you're going to be
reborn into an extraterrestrial being.
But physical.
Physical. Yes.
Extraterrestrial being?
Yes.
Hmm. They're full of shit. I'm sorry.
Okay. So T and Joe would also often compare this to a metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly.
Yeah. Okay. Again, it's like we're it's like you're one form into another. Yeah. Form.
You're evolving into the next form, right? Okay. But that this bodily transformation was only available if you gave up your caterpillar ways.
Okay, and what does that entail? What are the
will talk about it.
What are the caterpillar ways?
What are the caterpillar ways, Meg?
Dying to know.
So the two would go on to say that this transformation would entail overcoming one basic human nature and rejecting all interpersonal relationships and attachments, especially sexual desires.
Okay.
So basically, if you overcome every want, need, and desire that comes from being human, you can then transform into an extraterrestrial being.
Okay, so there's a little bit of like Buddhism.
A little bit of Buddhism, for sure. It's like a...
deny yourself, your flesh, your...
So, and then in the 1976 interview, when asked how much it would cost to come on to the two's UFO, T and Doe responded, your humanness. They're like, hey, like, what does it cost to be, like, be involved with your UFO trip? If we want to join your group and we want to, like, eventually come into the UFO that's taking us to the next level, what does that cost? And they said, your humanness.
Okay.
So basically every desire you have to be human is what it's going to cost you.
It is peak weird.
Is peak weird? I would argue it's not that fucking weird from every other religion out there.
I guess not, but it is, I guess there is this like literal urgency. Like it's the combination of we're being literal about this while we're also being kind of metaphysical and it's urgent. And that's when it becomes like a problem.
Yeah. Did you know there's people literally thought that the rapture was happening today?
Today?
Yeah.
Why today?
Because of the...
like today specifically?
Yeah. Today, like March 22nd.
Oh. 2026. No.
Because of the Iran-Iraq stuff.
Okay, so in that sense, yes.
I'm just saying...
well, the thing about religion itself is that, like, it's not all that different from one to another.
Exactly, is what I'm saying.
I hear you. I'm with you, girl.
So the thing that kind of annoys me about this group specifically, at least at this point initially, because they're not really doing any harm. They're preaching a specific weird gospel. It's Christianity with the fucking aliens again, honestly.
Okay.
But people will now talk about them like, oh, they were fucking crazy. This is like some weird batshit views. I'm like...
it wasn't all that different then.
It's not all that different from organized, like, mainstream religion beliefs. And...
oh, you know what? Sorry. I wish I could... I'm going to quote it now.
Go for it.
I apologize. I don't want to interrupt you. But I really... I've been into this artist called King Mala recently. And it's this like really alternative chick. And she has this song that kind of explains the dichotomy between a dom submissive relationship and a father god believer relationship. Okay. And how those are kind of the same. And it's kind of sexual and weird. But I've like never really thought about it that way. When there might be a pathway from like deeply religious to I want... a deviant dom relationship. I'm just like, it's a really interesting piece of art where I'm just like, interesting that you would relate the two of those things that were like, we bow down, we pray to Father God.
Yeah.
You don't,
Yeah.
There was nothing good with it. It just really, I was like, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of correlations between, it's power structures at the end of the day.
It's power structures. I would encourage everyone to look at any sort of cult and understand. I'm not saying you should believe the cult. I think you should just maybe have a lens of,
take a 360 view.
Yeah. Pop it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Be like, these people are crazy. Be like, well, are they all crazy then? If you believe in something, I'm more of an agnostic, I would say. Yeah. I would agree that probably you are too, that we were like,
definitely
something's in the ether. I don't think anyone's
definitely something is in the ether.
No one has gotten it right though, in like a religious sense.
No, because it all comes with this like guilt, shame, mm-hmm. obedience.
Mm-hmm. And that for sure happens here too.
And that's why you should cut it. But Satanism is the one that owns.
Like, I know, Satanism is like, the one that's like.
It's you also. Like, you also have the power.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's so gnarly.
I don't think we should cut that. I think we should definitely talk about that. Because I, if anything, I'm probably more of a Satanist.
Stop.
Whatever. Okay. So, Tia and
Go Doe. Go off, you little Satan queen.
Hey, little Luciferian bitch.
It's all bullshit. I'm sorry. It is a lot of bullshit.
I think it's a lot of bullshit, unfortunately. T and Doe say that the sacrifices made in human form would justify their claims by stating that if you were able to achieve what they are saying you need to achieve, you'll be saved from death itself and transformed into an extraterrestrial being, and a UFO would meet you in the air and take you to space heaven.
Okay, so like at what point do physics play a part here?
What point do physics play a part in any fucking religion? Is my argument.
You're right. No, you're right. Where you just start to like, you raise from the grave. I don't know.
I don't know either. Because
the thing is, it's always talked about in a literal sense. And like what mm-hmm. the truth is, it all happens in a realm or like on a plane that we are not consciously aware of.
Yeah. So I think it's more literal, actually.
It's more literal.
It's more literal because it's like your physical being would be going up into a spaceship.
And that's where the lies come from.
Yeah.
Where's maybe. Maybe whatever you say happens,
yeah.
But like to leading people away from this earthly presence mm-hmm. to death for whatever reason is immoral.
Yeah.
It's.
I would argue that every religion does that though.
I don't, it's if they don't directly lead you to the slaughter, it's on your way there. Make sure you give us everything we want from you.
Yeah.
We will siphon it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's kind of like capitalism also.
Yeah. I would argue that money is also fucking religion.
Yep, girl.
Snaps. Anyways. So T and Doe say that all of this is possible because they were eventually going to be martyred and resurrected after 3 days, and they could take their followers and true believers with them and eventually prove that this is true. So they're like, we are the two. When we are martyred and resurrected after 3 days, we will take you with us if you believe, is what they're saying.
I don't like it. Now I'm officially pissed. Because you're just like, it's about you now.
It is about you now, yeah. So T and Doe state that they also have been to the earth before.
Lying.
Specifically as the two witnesses from the Bible verse, Revelation 11, 13 through 12.
Go on.
And I have it.
Is it long?
No, it's not very long.
Okay.
But I guess
I'm... Oh, it's 11 and 12. It's just two.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm going to read you a fucking Bible verse at this point in this podcast, which I did not think I was ever going to do. But the Bible verse says this. So, quote, the Bible. To quote the Bible. So, an angel said, and I will give you power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make their war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered them, and they stood upon their feet, and they ascend up to heaven in a cloud.
Okay.
And that is what they're stating. That they are the witnesses. They'll be martyred. They'll be resurrected in the same way from this verse. Like I said, it's fucking...
Yeah, it's the Jesus part of it.
Yeah.
He died it's 3 days.
It's space Jesus.
Sure.
It's the fucking Christianity with an alien skin.
Yeah, and then this is where it becomes kind of sinister, to be honest.
Honestly, if they were around when Ancient Aliens came out, they would have been fucking on that show.
I know, but the difference is that, like, we are the ones.
What do you mean, we? Like, you and me?
No, the two of them. They were the two.
Yeah, they're claiming they are the witnesses. That's they are the people. That's
when it becomes, like, a real problem.
Yeah, totally.
And they're like, let's, like, utilize this as facts, this Bible verse.
Yeah, I can confirm we are the people. Which is crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in 1976, T and Doe give TV interviews talking about all of this. They're fully out there.
Saying, right. They were out there.
And started pulling out flyers that stated, quote, the two witnesses are here. And they had meetings early on and taught what I said, that a UFO would descend onto Earth's atmosphere, retrieve them and the faithful few, mm-hmm. and would take them into the heavens in their new extraterrestrial form.
And this was still in Texas?
No, they're traveling now. They're traveling on the Western U.S. and doing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is like their... So they have
this... They're collecting followers.
Yes. So they have
this... They're into the cult. The cult is active.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have this initial pilgrimage where it's just the two of them. And they kind of come up with this doctrine that I'm now telling you, right? And then now they're like going and talking about this publicly. Mm-hmm. They're putting out flyers. They're trying to like recruit people to follow them.
For what though?
I do think this is a very... rare case that these people actually believed what they preached.
I'm sure.
I think a lot of cults, people just wanted a following. And they were just like narcissists. Or they just
want to abuse people.
And yeah.
Get money.
Sociopaths, whatever you want to say. Like mm-hmm. Jonestown, whatever. I do think that these two actually believed what they believed.
Okay.
So later on, this shifts into God and Jesus, where extraterrestrial beings themselves.
Oh.
And that they were occupying Bonnie and Marshall's bodies.
Oh.
Bonnie being God and Marshall being Jesus.
Oh.
God is a woman.
You believe God is a woman.
Quit Rihanna. Yeah. So they claim that they are bringing the same message that Jesus had brought 2,000 years ago before. And that this is all before Armageddon.
Hmm. Haven't seen it. Still here.
Unfortunately, yeah. So T and Doe also warned during this era that the Earth will be recycled and repurposed.
They might have been ahead of their time.
They might have been. And that if you do not leave on this extraterrestrial plane that they are talking about, you will be recycled with it.
Okay, sure.
It's very metal. It like maybe is a little bit ahead of their time. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying it feels like they could have been an Ancient Aliens.
Okay.
They could have had their own fucking history TV show. Like the guy with the fucking afro thing. I'm just, you know.
Sure.
Ahead of their time, as you said. So the teachings of T and Doe really emphasize that you needed to complete your metamorphosis while on Earth in your skin suit, for lack of a better word, before descending into a UFO.
Okay.
So you need to do the work while you're here on Earth before you can actually go up into the spaceship, mm-hmm. right? And so then in August of 1975, the two had a recruitment seminar spreading the UFO doctrine that they were preaching at Canada College, where the group grew to about 200 people.
Okay.
This was never a big cult.
Yeah.
I will say. And then later that year, on September 14th, 1975... T and Doe came to a small coastal town in Walport, Oregon to try to spread their message and recruit members again.
A small town in Walport, Oregon.
They're popping around. They're like doing the little
recruitment. They're really just wherever.
So they promote a meeting at a local community center with flyers that state, quote, UFOs, why are they here? Who have they come for? When will they leave? And this is a...
Because see, they would have got me at the meeting with that.
That's what I'm saying. This is when you would have been interested.
I'm like, yes, please. It's also like Comic Sans.
Mm-hmm. 1975. Someone wrote that. So I'm going to read the actual flyer, what it says. So it says, UFOs, big layers. Why are they here? Who have they come for? When will they leave? Not a discussion of UFO sightings or phenomenon.
Oh,
Okay. So you're like, never mind. That's Meg's. Yeah, Meg's like, never mind. So it says this. Two individuals say that they were sent from the level above human and returned to that level in a spaceship. Parentheses, UFO. Within the next few months. This man and woman will discuss how the transition from the human level to the next level is accomplished and when this may be done. This is not a religious or philosophical organization recruiting membership.
Okay.
However, the information has already prompted a number of individuals to devote their total energy to the transitional process. If you've ever entertained the idea that there might be a real physical level in space beyond the Earth's confines, you will want to attend this meeting.
Okay. I like it.
I would fucking go.
I like that.
I'm not gonna lie. If I saw this and I'm like in a small town and fucking on the coast of Oregon, I'm like,
why not?
Why not? So, like we both say,
I know, but we're not dingus people. No, but not. I think we're underestimating the amount of drugs, and that's all I'm saying. Drugs are
it is in the
drugs
70s, are
happening
for sure.
People are doing it.
Yeah. So a significant crowd shows up of about 150 people to this meeting. Yeah.
No.
I think it's kind of like you and me are like, I'm gonna fucking go and see what they say.
Maybe
150 people. Watch the craziness.
Not
happen.
A lot going on.
No. Truly, I think it's part of it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, let's be real, that flyer is intriguing. So, T and Do share the message that I have just given you about the Earth is about to be recycled. There's only a few that will be saved onto the spaceship. And we are the people
who can save
T
you.
T and Do, who can save you.
Ugh.
Who's coming with? It's kind of their question.
Okay.
And there are a few former members who were at this meeting that talk about how almost magical this meeting was and how transcendent Marshall Applewhite was in general and how otherworldly the pair felt.
Interesting.
They were like, they
must have just had a swagger.
They had some riz. I don't fucking
they
know.
They definitely had riz. And I just would like to see, I know you can't be there.
No, like, I wish, like, it's like one of those ones, like, I wish I had a time
confidence.
Machine.
They were just really feeling themselves.
Like, charisma? I don't know. Like, I wish I had a time machine.
This is what we do.
I wish I had a time machine to go back to the specific moment, just watch it, to, like, kind of confirm what's being said, because we don't know.
No. But they were, they had to believe it.
Yeah.
Or in themselves. Like, there was something.
Totally. And I do truly believe these two believed it.
Okay. Which well, is very, they're not fucking crazy.
No. That's okay. Yeah. And people said that the pair didn't seem like they were human. Like they were witnessing something otherworldly.
Mm.
Which is wild in itself. So whatever happened during this meeting in Oregon did something for 20 of the attendees.
Okay.
And they decided to leave their possessions, jobs, and friends and families behind to follow T and Doe. They're like, we'll come with. We're here. We also believe we're
20 people.
20 people. 150 is like not
that's
a great.
Not bad. So, it's not the worst. That's probably all they were like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
They were never like trying to get like a huge cult following. It was almost like a.
They really thought they were going to save people.
Like it was like a boutique cult.
Okay.
They're like, whoever's following us is like really committed.
Chic.
She is chic. Yeah. So after this group of 20 leave, the Lincoln County leader posts an article saying that, quote, 20 of their residents just upped and vanished. And that they're all probably went with those cult. They're like, this is where we think we went. But like, it's a newsworthy story. Like 20 people decided to go with this fucking cult.
These people came to town. They talked about some weird stuff. Mm-hmm. And like some people left with them.
And they convinced 20 of us to leave.
Okay.
So Marshall and Bonnie worried about all the drama and public scrutiny that came from this. And like, they were already kind of having a lot of hecklers and stuff at their meetings in general. They decided to stop public recruiting in general. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah. And speaking. And so like, then the cult goes underground.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So this is the hard part of this story because it's hard to figure, like, find sources kind of talking about this part specifically. Mm-hmm. But I think this is really important. And I think a lot of people skip over this because this is where, like, we get the cult part of it. Because right now it's, like, people going on, like, a public forum and talking about some weird shit and people popping in and out. But then we get to a point where this is, like, oh, we're in cult status.
Because we are now feeling the scrutiny. We're hiding.
We're hiding, but so they're
hiding. It's insular in the way that it might not happen before.
Yeah, so they're hiding, but they're also really kind of roping in the ranks. And they're really making it like a small knit
group. Because they're probably paranoid.
A little bit,
anxious.
Yeah.
And okay. It's getting controlling now.
It's going to get way more controlling.
Yeah.
So after the wall part recruitment, the group quickly became nomadic and traveling through remote areas like Medicine Bow National Forest and the Bonnie Reserve in Colorado. Medicine Bow is in Wyoming.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. I'm sure. I've never been there, but it sounds lovely. Yeah.
So they lived a transient lifestyle, camping in the wilderness or setting up temporarily in small towns where members worked low wage and menial jobs and sought support from local churches themselves. With the cult going underground and being nomadic, a lot of members can never really find the group after going off and finding work. So, like, they would have these little groups that would go off and find work, and then the cult would move without them, and then they could never find them again. Mm-hmm. And they would put out, like, ads in newspapers trying to figure out where the hell they went. So it's, like, a lot of people who were, like, in the cult and just like, kind of weirdly got kicked out, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
They were like, okay, like they left without me. Which is really fucking sad.
I wonder who
in life. There's multiple people.
Who like, they left
me? They left me.
Honey, listen, rejection is protection.
In a sense, for sure. I just like literally kind of feel bad. Yeah. Like when a cult leaves you. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. If anyone doesn't want you, like, you are better off. Like, you just don't want to be somewhere you're not wanted.
No, that's true. That's very true.
Let's keep it moving.
Just keep going, sis. Keep going. Which is really sad.
But yes, it does hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it burns when the cult leaves you.
Stop. Sorry. They want everybody, but not you.
I'm so sorry. Okay. So over time, the group, which used names like the Human Individual Metamorphosis and Total Overcomers Anonymous.
What? I'm sorry. What?
So they, Heaven's Gate specifically, is never really actually the cult name.
Okay.
Heaven's Gate is named their website. Okay. Later in the 90s.
Okay.
They oftentimes, it goes to the group or the class. But sometimes they would go, they had like in the early years, they would go by the names Human Individual Metamorphosis.
Okay.
It's long.
It's not, it says.
Yeah. Or Total Overcomers Anonymous.
Worse than the other one.
I know. But Heaven's Gate is never actually what they call themselves. They call, right. Like at the end, they call themselves the group or the class.
Okay.
So.
The group.
The group. Mm. Yeah. They eventually get enough money to buy some campers for the group. And like they eventually travel more efficiently while staying largely out of public view. This is the time when like they're kind of underground. So I don't really know how they traveled. It just sounds like they had campers and cars.
Caravans.
Little caravans. Kind of yeah, around. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's also during this time in the Medicine Bow National Forest that Tiendo declare that they will also demonstrate to prove to their followers that they have been telling the truth.
Oh, they must be feeling some pressure.
Yeah. So basically, they were going to become the martyrs that they had talked about in that Revelation Bible verse. But at some point, Marshall declares that the demonstration is canceled because their followers are not ready to enter the next level.
He blames it on them?
He blames on them.
This fucking bitch.
He blames on them because everyone's been too focused on the ascension to the next level, aka the UFO, and not what it takes to get there.
Oh, you're not doing the work.
You're not doing the work.
You want the reward. So
therefore, we can't be martyrs because you're not doing the work. It's your fucking fault.
Definitely.
This is gaslighting, PhD for sure. Level, right?
And it's because they have no options. It's a bullshit story. There's no merit to it. Mm-hmm. This is nonsense. And when they start asking for results, you're like, oh, like, obviously it's you.
Right. Like, it's your fucking fault.
You want it too bad. I'm not that into you. Like, the aliens are not that into you.
Yeah.
You want to be here you too bad. You
need
to
try a little harder.
You want to try a little harder, but you're going to be shamed for it. You know?
Yeah. Sorry. I just fixed my mic a little bit. It, like, fell on me.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I was adjusting myself. So at the height of the late 1970s, the group had grown to about 100 members and had operated under a strict structure and discipline. This is when the cult stuff comes in. Daily life was tightly controlled with the rigid schedules down to the minute controlling every aspect of the day, including when the members were allowed to eat and sleep. And all of this was sold to the group as basically what needs to happen in order for you to ascend to the next level. So you need to do this in order to become your alien self, right? So instead of the sacrifice and the ascension that was sold to the group initially in Wyoming in the Medicine Bow National Forest, T and Doe told the group that they would be preparing everyone for the UFO to pick them up and to go into space. And they refer to this as the process.
Okay.
So they're basically like, hey, listen, the sacrifice, not happening, right? You guys aren't ready for this.
Okay.
We are ready for this, but it's your fault. You're not ready for this. So what we do need to do now in this like campground in this national forest is we need to get you guys ready for the ascension into the UFO, which is what they call the process. This process included giving up vices like drugs and alcohol, but it also included giving up personal relationships, even with people in the group.
Wow.
There were people who like came in as a couple.
Okay, so I knew that happened, but I guess they are more square than I thought they were.
They're very square.
Oh, no.
There's also no fried or fatty foods allowed.
Go fuck yourself.
And most importantly to the group itself, no sex and no masturbation.
They suck. This is incredibly boring.
These are
boring.
Fucking boring. These guys are squares.
The straight edges that we talked about.
So straight edge.
The worst kind of people.
They really are.
Ew.
So the interesting part about this process and the cult itself is that all of this was framed as a choice and never as a sin. So, like, a lot of, like, religion be like, oh, if you
do it, then it's a bad thing.
Yes. But this is, like, you have a choice to do this.
Or not do it, and that's better.
Or not do this. But if you do this, this is how you're going to get to ascension. This is how you're going to get to the next level. This is how you're going to be on the...
If you deny yourself, then you're better than everyone else.
Yeah, this is how you're going to get the spaceship. Mm-hmm. But if you do this, that's your
choice.
You're
not worthy. It's better, I suppose.
It's almost like a disappointment.
Yeah. It's like you can do it, but like you are not shit if you do.
Yeah, like you're not that girl, mm-hmm. right? That's the problem.
Yeah.
So it's also very interesting that T and Doe never forced anyone to practice these rules of ascension, and people could leave if they wanted to.
Okay.
They're like, if you want to go, you can go. Like, you're not worthy of us, kind of, is what they were selling.
Okay.
But when you're
exclusivity.
But when you were told that your immortal alien soul is on the line, people want to stay.
Well, I don't, but
but they want to stay and they want to prove to themselves that they're worthy of the next level.
I think it's really about who you're around. If everyone's, and I think that probably what we're not talking about is like one the power of one or two people in a group next to you being highlighted for doing X, Y, and Z and you feeling less than that you seek that approval.
It's like you have something to prove, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It's really interesting though because I feel like with a lot of cults, there comes to a point where if you want to leave, you can't. Where you're almost forced to stay.
But you're ashamed for it.
But for this one,
it's the course of control of it.
Yeah, like, yeah. This one's almost like you can... There's been
you
like,
can go if you're not good enough to
there's
stay.
Multiple accounts of Marshall Applewhite specifically giving people like bus fare or like plane tickets. Be like, you want to go, you can go.
He's like a reverse Uno on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's also sinister.
It is very sinister. It's almost like next level. Cult Sif, right? Okay, so we talked about it like kind of being like you can leave the cult, but it can be framed as a choice.
Like you're a shitty loser,
right?
Basic.
Like, you don't want to ascend to the next level, like I guess you can fucking leave.
Yeah,
but I mean that was kind of unique, I would say, to this cult because that was kind of the position they had always. That's my dog. Don't mind.
Do you think anyone thinks it's not
your dog? I don't know. It might be you. They might think it's you. I don't know.
It's rude. I'm sorry. I do not know what we're talking about anymore. I've lost it.
No. So we were talking about
Can you just lay down?
we were talking about, like, this was never sold to their followers as a sin. If they didn't do the things that they were saying that you need to get rid of, it was never sold as, like, if you have sex, it's a sin. If you eat fast food, it's a sin. It's like, this is what it was sold as, like, you have to do this to get to ascension to the next level in this UFO skin. But if you don't do it, you're just going to be on Earth when it's recycled.
And it's sort of like basic to have those kind of human needs.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. Like earlier, they said you have to get rid of your humanness in order to be a part of this group, right? And
I know, but listen, I got to say that those experiences are some of the most beautiful things that exist.
I know. It's what makes you a human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connection, emotion, mm-hmm. like all of these things that we feel. And it's not always glamorous.
No, it's selfish. It's a mixed bag, right?
And yeah, and sometimes it's beautiful and sometimes it's just like sort of messy.
Yeah.
So to deny it is...
Interesting.
I don't know. Weird. Seems like a bummer. Seems like no one was having a good time.
No, it really does. This is like the lamest of the cults.
Yeah.
There's nothing fun happening.
It sounds like a bummer, yeah. Most of them are.
Yeah. So in order to make sure everyone was preparing for ascension and the next level, Tia and Doan would have the group itself go into smaller groups that they called star clusters.
Cute.
Like a star cluster. I just wanted to be my little star cluster. It's fine.
I like it.
And they were named after disparate constellations.
Ooh.
And each star cluster would have a leader from T and Doe's inner circle.
Oh, they had an inner circle.
Yes. And they were called helpers themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, the helpers would make sure the group is having no fun, essentially.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're not doing drugs. You're not drinking.
What are they doing, though? Are they working?
They're just camping and doing some work.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
they're doing all this from tents.
This is capitalism. It's bare bones. I'm sorry, but the only way you guys can fuck around and not work is because everyone around you is doing nothing but working for you.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
You cunts.
Wow, you really went there.
I did. I'm good job. Sick of it.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Because I'm usually the one.
Well, do you know what, though? I'm not like explicitly political because it feels like it's all small potatoes, but capitalism, I will fuck with.
I will fuck up and I will fuck with.
I'm extremely commie over here.
I think socialist is what you're looking for.
No, it's not
commie.
It's not commie, right?
Yeah, you're not commie. So the helpers were making sure that each like little star cluster was adhering to the standards of T&DO. And they'd also make sure like the campsite was clean. It was up to like the standards of T&DO themselves. This like campsite was like kind of the start of the cult, and it was like, so T and Dale were in a trailer on this campground, on this campsite in the Medicine Bow National Forest in Wyoming. And there was like these little like sticks and logs that kind of sectioned every campsite off from each other. And within each campsite was a star cluster. And the helper would be there with the star cluster and everyone would be in a group together. And the helper and the star cluster were making sure that everyone was like adhering to T and Doe standards.
Which were
just, like the no sex, no drugs, no alcohol, no like fatty foods. It's like they're all adhering to a very specific ground rules and standards. So like their diets would change a little bit because they were trying to find like the best diet.
That worked for people without all the fats that you need?
That worked for what they needed to make ascension.
They were like, what can we feed them that makes them as docile as we want them
like
to
a,
be?
They tried like a bone broth diet. They tried like just eating like lentils or like root vegetables.
Why do you have to just not do a bunch? It's always about like restriction.
And it's always about restriction. Totally, yeah. So the campground itself also has something called a decontamination zone.
What happens in the decontamination zone?
So where if you were bothered by spirits, aka thoughts of friends, family,
thoughts of friends and family.
Or a cheeseburger.
Cravings? Just like everyday things.
Yeah, or masturbation.
Oh. Well, listen, people have been feeling ashamed about that forever. Yeah. They didn't, that was a given.
So this is like the zone where you would have to go like cool off from those thoughts.
And what happens in the zone? What
is this? You sit there and like you try to,
what's it? Is it the environment different or?
No.
It's like you're just, this
it's
is
within the camp. And it's kind of like a little bit like a shame
zone. A shame box?
Yeah. It's like a shame zone.
Oh, of course. Because
this is all in the, within a campground.
So how do you get yourself in the box?
Like you would go there
if you felt,
if you felt a certain way. If,
like you, oh, to avoid you, doing yeah, those things.
Yeah, avoid doing those things.
Oh, be but like, the wow, thing
I'm
is,
really, okay. I would really love a bacon cheeseburger and to like,
okay, okay, okay.
Rub one out.
Well, this is what I'm saying. If I imagine there's an imaginary box mm-hmm. and I just sort of back into it and I'm facing outside of the box because mm-hmm. I'm feeling shameful, I know that there's the energy of a bunch of other horny people in the box with me.
Well, I keep saying box.
I'm just like, everyone who's here, I can't see them. I'm looking outward. My eyes are closed. I'm feeling, but like, I know we're all just like a little naughty.
Right? It's like, all a little bit naughty. So they also would have these things where they would assign partners to each other. But like, it was like the partner that they felt like they were the least attracted to.
Yeah.
It's, that makes sense. If you've watched South Park, it's called the Accountability Buddy.
You know, it's actually, I'm gonna have to make it like a New Year's resolution with you just to watch South Park because I do not know South Park.
Yeah, you should.
I think I would like it.
I think you would too. There's a whole ass episode where it's called Accountability Buddies, where it's like a gay conversion camp.
Oh, I don't like
it. Like Butters is there and they're trying to like make him not gay, and it's just, they basically have like buddies together where they're trying to make sure that they're not
compatible, like they're not gonna want to.
They're
each
not
other.
Like gonna like tap into their gay homosexual instincts, but it's the opposite in the episode. It's so fucking funny. Accountability, great
accountability.
Episode. I can make you a list of South Park episodes you should watch. Okay, then maybe that's what. Maybe just for the entire group of people who listen, because I've watched every fucking episode. Listen,
I am a fan of adult cartoons.
Me too.
So there's no reason I wouldn't love it.
Yeah. So they had like pairs assigned, not by like people that they were attracted to, but people that they thought they would be at least attracted to.
Sure. Okay.
They're like, I'm going to put you with this fucking gargoyle over here. This hobgoblin that you.
Yeah. It's interesting how strategic. I'm like, I just would love to know why.
Because they didn't want people to like
develop bonds with each other at all.
They did not want bonds developed at all.
It's gross. It's again sinister. It's so bad.
It's very cult like.
So bad.
Right. That's why I said I defend the beliefs they had. I don't defend the cult itself.
The right? behavior, yeah.
Because I'm like, this is no different from fucking Christianity. Let's be real.
Oh,
sorry. But they would have these like people assigned together, but they would rotate them. Mm-hmm. Throughout, and so it was like they had a basically an accountability buddy to make sure that they weren't going into the decontamination zone, but if someone had to go there was a spot for that. If you wanted to talk to your friends, you want to talk to your family, if you wanted a french fry or a cheeseburger, wanted to jerk one off.
But you couldn't get the french fry or the cheese. This wasn't a safe place to do the things. This is a place to go.
This was a place to go and think about why you wanted that and work your way through the.
Okay, like a confessional, but you're not.
Yeah. It's like a confessional, but in like a campground.
Okay.
For lack of a better word. It's like the cool off, essentially.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what like moving into an imaginary box building. Mound of rocks changes my desire for a cheeseburger.
Like a cheeseburger is a cheeseburger. Like, now the fact that I said cheeseburger like 5 times, I kind of want a cheeseburger. Right? Just
like rude. They suck. They're boring. I'm officially over it.
The cheeseburger?
Over them. Okay. No.
Oh, Heaven's Gate.
Yeah, these fucking cunts.
No, like, I've for a cheeseburger. Oh my God.
No. Never.
Never. Right. So the campground also has zones marked off by sticks and twigs and rocks where you would...
Sticks and twigs and rocks.
It's like little pathways marked off, but like these people would follow them.
Sure.
Because this is like in this like little area that was marked off by like the twigs and the rocks and stuff in this campground. This is like the zone where you did your daily tasks and duties and you couldn't leave the zone without permission. It's a weird coercion.
Like there's no fence, but people felt like they couldn't leave the...
Yeah, I think I can't remember what podcast I listened to, but they talked about like freedom within the cage, which was like a very good example, I think, of what's happening here is because these people were free to go at any point.
Yeah.
They could leave if they wanted to. They would leave with a little bit of a hinge of disappointment from Tien Do, Marshall and Bonnie, but they were never told to stay if they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Which is like the weird gray area within this cult itself, because I think it's unique with other cults we have looked at, not even like you and I, just like in general, we're like, you were forced to stay at a point, right? Yeah. You were forced with them.
All of them, yeah.
There's a lot of them that were. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, and so it's just interesting that these people were given like the grounds of you can leave, but you're leaving ascension. You're leaving the next level if you leave here. And they chose to stay. And it literally just took like a campground with some sticks and twigs.
As the physical barrier.
Because
it wasn't about that.
Yeah. For them.
Yeah.
So during this process of learning about ascension and learning how to get to the next level, Tien Do also limited communication within the group itself. And oftentimes implementing something called tomb time.
Tomb time.
Oh,
it's like, that sounds fun.
So where members couldn't speak to each other for days on end, so they couldn't talk to each other. And if a question was asked of to a member who was on tomb time, they could answer with a yes or a no physically. Or if it was like a more complex question, they could write a note.
Oh my God, it always comes down to abusing people, doesn't it? It's so nasty.
Yeah. So tomb time was also said to be a practice in order to get ready for the next level where you could communicate telepathically in the ether on the next level of ascension. So former members of Heaven's Gate actually speak highly of tomb time.
Okay.
To this day.
What's that, like meditation or something?
It's almost like ASMR or meditation like mixed together.
Sure.
Where they would say while practicing this, they could feel vibrations in the world and they felt like the alien spaceship that would be coming for them eventually, like they could feel like getting closer.
That's sad. Because it is sad. They probably were like actually meditating and getting the good benefits of meditation, but it's tied immediately to this brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And they didn't need to die. It's so sad.
I know.
I'm so upset.
So the cult would also use tuning forks to tune to a note of A.
Because she had originally Bonnie?
Marshall had more of a music background.
I know, but the tuning
Bonnie
forks...
Bonnie really loved sound and music, but Marshall had the music background.
Okay, but tuning forks are also like very hippie metaphysical.
Okay. So they would use tuning forks to tune to the note of A where they would knock the fork in place on their forehead.
Okay.
As a try to way to clear their minds and focus on the ascension that they were
probably did work.
Planning for. And they would do this all day, every day. They would just be like doing their daily tasks and just like randomly do it. It's almost like a weird tick at a point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. Do we think it was one person going a ding and the whole room of people?
It might have been. No, I see what you're saying. It was like your own kind of like personal choice to do it. It maybe was a little bit of both. It's kind of, it almost seems like it was like a, have you ever heard like the theory that like if you yawn, other people yawn around you? It's almost was like kind of like that. If one person did it, and then everyone else would kind of do it too.
So we're all in a room together, miserable. And if it's almost
in a room, a campground. They're in the wilderness.
Oh,
in Wyoming.
What are they doing out there?
This is what they're doing. Everything I just told you.
They just do the ding and then they just...
They were on the campground. They were doing the star clusters. They were doing the work.
No one's working.
They've gone to like menial jobs, like bring in some money, but they were on the campground. They didn't have to pay a whole lot of money. Right?
Okay. So just like they had like a bell around that they would just...
No, it would just be like someone who has like a tuning fork decides like they want to do like the tuning fork thing. in the, like, maybe all of them decided to do it at the same time, or one person just did it individually.
I feel like someone's just walking around ding the tuning bell.
No, there is no bell.
I mean, the tuning fork.
All of them had tuning forks.
They had their own individual tuning forks.
They all had their own individual tuning forks.
Okay.
And they would just do it when they felt compelled to.
Got it.
They would knock the tuning fork, and it would do the A note.
Okay, got it.
And they would hold it to their forehead. And they would practice. It was like a almost like
It's not that cheap to have a tuning fork.
No, it's like almost like a weird meditative thing where they like do it and they would like pull it to their forehead.
Well, they were probably like, we have nothing in this life.
Yeah.
We have no fun. Mm-hmm. We have no joy.
We have no drugs, no alcohol.
And so the best we can do is this meditation wand that just does something to the chemistry of your brain with this, like,
yeah.
Well, I would be doing it. I'd be like, dang.
Boing, boing, boing.
No wonder.
Yeah. And like I said, like, I feel like some people were able to get some weird vibration out there.
Yes.
And I think it's probably because you were just like silent in the forest.
Yes. Yes. You know? It probably made you feel something.
Yeah, absolutely. And so people like kind of like gave that credit to Tien Do.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately. So overall, all these practices at the camp were to help the members get over their humanness in order to reach the ascension, with Tien Do being the spearheads of these thought exercises. Because at the end of the day, these are all thought exercises, more or less, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
No facts are happening. No experiments.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's being physically maimed yet.
No, nothing is happening.
Yeah. And it is possible that this group could have just gone on with these exercises and maybe would have disbanded or stayed together on a compound somewhere and faded into obscurity. But there is something that happens in the 1980s that completely changed the entire trajectory of Heaven's Gate itself.
Mm.
And that is where we dive into next week.
It's a proper cliffhanger.
It's a proper cliffhanger.
Rude.
Like, we're already, like, maybe at 2 hours with this episode itself. And we're still in the fucking 1970s.
Listen, it was episode 100. We were doing a little bit of partying.
We did a little reveal video of the stickers that you should. I'm going to try to get some.
Oh, I loved the stickers. I'm so excited about it.
I am too. Yeah, so we're going to hopefully finish this next episode. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't written it yet.
Oh,
it's this
what do you mean hopefully? You have to.
I mean, like,
it's, you must.
It could maybe be a three-parter is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
Girl, do what you need to do.
I just,
your dog is really flirting with me today.
He's really like making the intense eye contact. I just really want to do something cult-like for one episode 100, and I just, cults are fucking hard to do. Yeah,
there's layers,
so many layers. I want to try to do it credit and try to like give like a most neutral stance I could, because I do truly believe that their initial beliefs were nothing as crazier than like what people believe today.
Yeah, but the problem is it's maybe not always like the ideology, it's the ego that's the problem.
Yeah.
The ego is is what always fucks it up.
I know. And I do think looking within like a 2026 lens and like looking at cults itself, I'm like, it's a little bit deeper or like different. Because let's be real, the cult of MAGA is a fucking thing. Oh,
I thought you were going to go there.
I did. I'm sorry. You know I would.
It's weird. It's
weird.
It's very weird.
It's very weird. And so just to try to, I don't know, give it credit. Not credit, but just be like, listen, like, you can't say this is fucking crazy, but then go to fucking your Episcopal Mormon church whenever you go and act like this is also
not crazy. Well, the difference not is, crazy. Is having beliefs that are complicated do not always equal cutting people off from their families, damaging their lives, damaging other people. Like, that's when it crosses into cult behavior. Like,
I would argue MAGA has done that, though, for a lot of people.
And for the rest of us also.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I do think there's people out there.
It's a unique situation. Where it's there's a major power structure involved here.
I mean, like, if you were in the Mormon church and you got married and you wanted to invite a family member who wasn't in the Mormon church to your wedding, they couldn't go into the Mormon church.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and so it just, religion and cults, I think, is a gray area. And I do think it's interesting. I try to do as much as I can credit-wise. I just, like, am I not serious enough to do it? I guess is my question I always ask myself. Because I don't think either of us are serious enough.
To talk about the Heaven's Gate cult?
No, I think we are. But, like, I mean, I just try to be respectful to all religion in general.
You have been respectful to Heaven's Gate and disrespectful to all of the other religions.
Maybe I have.
Honey,
I don't know.
You have done it. I'm just trying to protect these sweet
folks. No, I'm not trying to protect anybody.
You're just trying to put yourself in the mind.
Yeah, the yes. shoes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to understand the
protect is the wrong word. I take it back.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm here for it. And I'm ready for episode number two.
Yeah.
Or number three. But if you give me a number three, it better be fucking good, okay?
I think it'll be a two-parter.
Yeah.
I do think. Yeah. I originally was like, oh, this could be one. And I was like,
no.
Diving further and further. I'm like, oh, this is definitely two, at least. Which is fine. Like, I love a two-parter, personally. Hopefully you do too.
I don't mind it.
Sorry for the cliffhanger.
I don't mind it.
Yeah. I feel like it was a good place to end.
Pretty well-known story, you know?
Yeah. Like, you could also go look up this cult and, like, figure out the rest if you wanted to before the next episode comes out. But we will give you a two-parter to the best of our ability. How about that? Anyways, go rate, review, and subscribe. And if you rate, review, subscribe, and rate, review, send it to our socials or grimlypodcast@gmail.com and you will get some fucking stickers.
Yeah, it's really good stickers.
Really good stickers. They're on socials at this point because we did the video today, but we're going to release it after 99. Yeah.
Such good stickers.
Yeah. You want a corn dog sled sticker?
I love it. I love the stickers. I think that's is great.
Thank you.
Proper merch.
Proper.
Beautiful.
Proper. So yeah, if you want some of those, yeah, you know how to do it now. And you will get them.
Do we have an Etsy store?
Not yet.
We should probably eventually get an
Etsy think eventually
store.
Once we do the giveaway, like once we end, I think realistically the giveaway should be ended like a week after 100 comes out.
Okay.
So maybe about 101, we'll just make an Etsy store.
These, you just slap these cute little stickers all over the place.
I know, right?
Adorable. So,
yeah. But yeah, rate, thanks for listening for a long fucking time.
Well, some of you probably
100 fucking episodes.
Listen, again, cheers to you for doing the work for 100 episodes.
Cheers to you for doing it with me.
I know, it is fun. It's honestly, we have a good time
for being like, the unhinged partner in this scenario. As I truly appreciate you, and I'm so glad you're here. And until next time,
stay grimly curious.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok @GrimlyPodcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch!
9:30 and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.